In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
This morning, we have this wonderful short gospel passage from Luke chapter 17. And it may be deceptively simple. You know, we hear this narrative about some lepers that were healed by Jesus, and it says only one of them came back to say thank you. And so the lesson there, one of the lessons, is that we should always recognize when we're given a gift. We should always recognize the giver and honor and give thanks as it is due. That's one interpretation of that short, kind of simple gospel. But maybe deceptively simple, if we look a little bit below the surface, there may be something else going on. The evangelist Luke, writing at a time when an issue was, you know, what's the status of Gentile believers? What's their status? Are they going to go to heaven? Are they part of the same community that the Jewish believers are? You know, and Paul preached, and it's consistent throughout the Gospels, that there's one community of believers. You know, there's no second-class citizens in this salvation we have in Jesus Christ. It's only God, and it's us, and it's we're in a new relationship with Him through this great sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Nobody's a second-class citizen. Jews and Gentiles are both invited into the kingdom as long as they accept the lordship of Jesus Christ. But that was an issue at the time of Luke. And if we look closely at this gospel passage, there may be an underlying message there that stresses that all are accepted into the kingdom of heaven. We notice, first of all, that Jesus tells the ten, you know, he doesn't tell them he's going to heal them. He just simply tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And why does Jesus tell them that? Jesus is saying that because he wants to let it be known that what he is doing, what he is bringing and working is nothing new in the eyes of God. This is nothing added on or extra to what has been God's plan of salvation all along. It's consistent with what Moses taught and with what God revealed beforehand through the law and the prophets and the other scriptures. So Jesus is only fulfilling that. Go do what the law of Moses commands. If you've been healed, if you've received a blessing, you go to the priest, to the temple, and you show yourself and you make an offering out of the abundance of the blessings you've received. Okay? Jesus doing nothing out of the ordinary, nothing extra, nothing additional, but only what is the fulfillment of everything that came before him. But then if we look closely, it says, as they were going, they were healed. As they were going, they were healed. The message here is that fulfilling the requirements of the law is not what brings the healing. And we can be saved, we can have this beautiful gift of healing through Jesus Christ, just through His Word, and it's effective even without the law. So as they were going, they were healed. Before they went to the temple, before they showed themselves to the priests. This is important, you know, because it teaches us that anyone, not just the Jews at the time, not just the Orthodox today, we want to make a parallel, you know, ones who are schooled in the ways of God, who have the scriptures, who study, who believe they have seen the true light. We say that every divine liturgy. We have seen the true light. We have received the heavenly kingdom. We have found the true faith. And we believe that. It's not just certain people who can be affected by this grace of God, but it's anybody who is willing to accept it. You know, Jesus isn't saying throw away the law. He's not saying the law is not necessary. But what he has and who he is greater than the law, because Jesus' salvation invites the entire world to come into one community. Remember, there's not two communities. There's not Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. There's only one community of believers. They recognize the lordship of Jesus. One Lord and one God and one faith, right? Just one faith. So Jesus says, this foreigner is the only one who comes and gives thanks. What happened to the other nine? Were there not ten? We, brothers and sisters in Christ, have to recognize our need to always give thanksgiving and glory and recognize what God has given us. It's not something that comes simply by knowing the scriptures or by studying the law. You know, this is something that St. Paul tells us. There's a very nice section in the first chapter of Romans where he says that, you know, all of humankind should have known who God was from the beginning of time, just by looking at the glory of the world he created, you know, and sensing his presence and knowing that there is a God and that he is the giver of good things, just in the things we receive from him. And then Paul condemns those who don't recognize God and didn't see and didn't give him the glory, but rather worship creatures, you know, people, created things. Sometimes we see ourselves as the giver of good things. We see ourselves as somehow deserving credit for the good things we have, for the gifts that God has given us, when really all of it belongs to him, and what we do in response is simply a recognition of that. What little percentage we give back to God is simply our way of saying, God, you are sovereign. All this is yours anyway. Right? The earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. Nothing belongs to us. We are just caretakers. We are just stewards of the gifts of the creation. And we have a role to fulfill. Very big part of our role is to be worshipers, be creatures who give thanks back to God and who recognize him. Now, this is nothing out of the ordinary. It's nothing that we just do once a week, although we do it probably most perfectly on Sunday at the Divine Liturgy. That's what our liturgy is. It's called Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. We don't offer a sacrifice up to God here today in the church, right? That one sacrifice was given by Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. And that's the one sacrifice that makes us all able to share in the goodness and the kingdom of God. There's no other sacrifice to be given. What we're doing is offering God thanksgiving, right? It's not a blood sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's our Eucharist. What we do is we take seemingly ordinary bread and wine that's bought at a store. We place them on the altar table. We read through the Word of God. We preach. We offer prayers up. And at a certain point, we ask God to look upon what we are offering him. We lift them up and we say, your own of your own, recognizing that these aren't even ours to begin with. Somebody made the bread at home. We bought the wine at the store, right? But we didn't create it. We didn't make it. It's God's. We offer that little bit back up to him and ask him to send his Spirit down on us. First of all, us, right? Send down the Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts. So it's one, the community and the gifts. Show this bread to be the body of thy Christ, and that which is in this cup, the precious blood of thy Christ. So the bread is broken, the blood is spilled. We offer it back up to God. He gives us his very life in Jesus Christ, which we're able to eat and drink and experience here and now the kingdom of heaven as a foretaste throughout all eternity. So see how great God is. See how good he is to us. That Eucharistic model that we do at liturgy should be our model for everyday life. We should always think of our life as an offering up to God. Whatever talents we have, whatever treasures we have, whatever strengths we have, we should dedicate them not to building up ourselves, not to putting other people down, but simply for the greater glory of God and to show that he is our Lord, he is sovereign, and everything we have is simply because we have received it from him, God, who is the giver of all gifts. If we love God, and we know that there's a commandment in the Old Testament scripture that reappears in the New Testament, it says, you know, the greatest commandment when Jesus asks people, and they tell him what it says in the law of Moses, that you love God, the Lord your God, with all your mind, soul, heart, and strength. That word strength there, that's a scriptural term that's technical, and it means the material possessions that we have, that we're given charge over, right? We really don't possess them, we're given charge over them. It's this little piece of, whether it's power or money or the ability to do things, to make transactions, that's our strength in scriptural terms. So we have to love God even with that, you know, our heart, our soul, and our mind, and even our material possessions. And remember, the way we love God, which we say all the time, the only way we prove we love God is to do to other people, to build them up and to love them. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. So the degree to which we welcome the least, the strangest of the strange, the people that nobody else will recognize, that's the degree we can show that we love God, and thereby giving him thanksgiving and recognizing his glory and his sovereignty. It's every day of our life, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just Sunday when we come to church, right? Eucharist is the model. It shows us how it is to be done most perfectly and completely. God gives us, we offer it back up to him. And notice ours is always broken and spilled. The bread is broken, the blood is spilled. That's because we're imperfect. We don't have everything in this world. The epistle that St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the second epistle to the Corinthians, which we just heard today, Paul says that he has his treasures in a broken vessel. Right? And that's for the purpose of showing that all the glory belongs to God. He's not an eloquent speaker. He doesn't come up with words of wisdom on his own. He's doing nothing of his own creation and gets credit for nothing, but it all belongs to God. And in his brokenness, he shows that. So for us, the lesson is we should always be merciful. We should always extend love and welcoming and generosity to those who need it, to our church, for the upkeep and for the building up of the body of Christ. We should always recognize in thanksgiving God, who is the giver of life and of all good things. May we celebrate the oblation and offer it today in peace, and may we partake of that heavenly food and bread and drink of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in thanksgiving of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.